So Kathleen, what are the trends we need to know?
Yeah, well, this is one of them. And this segues well into our discussion we just briefly had concerning students. And what's happening is that there is a regulatory provision, you see it there, and there's a notice that's going up on AILA.org regarding this trend, where USCIS is saying that even though we do have a regulatory provision that allows students to get more than 12 months of curricular practical training, it is an allowable event under the regulation, that if they do so, USCIS is now denying changes of status, because they're saying, no, we're interpreting this provision to indicate that if you obtain more than 12 months, then you do not qualify for a change of status because you've violated it. You have more than 12 months of CPT. I'm sure this is going to be another lawsuit. It's under consideration, but just to make sure you're aware of it, this craziness is going on. The next bullet point is another trend that we're seeing within this litigation group, task force of AILA, and that's the notices of intention to revoke or on an uptick. And they're utilizing this provision concerning the gross error of the government. So the government says, no, this should not have been approved, and it doesn't necessarily mean that you get an RFE first. You may be getting a notice of intention to revoke, which basically gives you 30 days, and then the additional 3 if the notice is sent by mail, which it normally is. And it's a second bite at the apple by the government to force you into responding. It seems that the trend may be tied to the uptick also in the Fraud Detection and National Security Division site visits that we see. Sometimes it's tied to that, sometimes not. Remember that also the Department of State is in this business now. There's a consular verification unit that also can contact the employee or the employer. And there's also an article on AILA.org regarding what this particular list of questions that the consular officers are using to communicate with the employees and the employers that I think would be useful to take a look at. So there's a few trends. This is statistics. The National Foundation for American Policy, and that's Stuart Anderson, is the predominant writer with that particular institute. But I think these particular statistics are useful not only for us, but also to send to our clients to try to explain why the heck we can't seem to get our job done as easily, assuming I could ever use that term with immigration. So take a look at this. The request for evidence rate was 69% in the fourth quarter compared to 23% concerning the H-1B category. That is a big difference. And look at the issue concerning foreign-born professionals, petitions denied, 41% increase in comparison third quarter of 2017 to third quarter of the current year. So I just want you to make sure that you have this at your hand, and if you look under National Foundation for American Policy, you'll see like a 20-page report that has some very useful statistics for you. On the next one, I think we have a similar chart where it gives you an insight into the L-1B category. And as you can see, this is denial rate on L-1Bs for specialized knowledge, but as you can see, we have definitely an uptick in the denial rate. I know that there are practice advisories posted on AILA.org concerning how to handle specialized knowledge, but I can tell you that your practice has to change as how you document these cases and make sure to analyze the recent AAO non-precedent as well as precedent decisions in crafting your attack.
And I think it also changes the way we practice in terms of communicating client expectations, right? I mean, when we're looking at this uptick in denials and in requests of additional evidence, I think that's one of the things we're all going to have to be wary of, is not only do we have to be more prepared and unfortunately over-document cases so as to protect our clients, but we really have to have more conversations with clients about expectations, and that gets tough to do when your client is a corporation trying to run their business. So we're going to switch gears a little bit. Our third topic on our top 10 list is consular processing policy changes and trends, and I'm going to turn it over to Amanda to talk to some of the to talk about some of those.
Okay. Well, so Laura, you were just talking about having to have a lot of conversations with your clients and manage their expectations, and I think at least for family practitioners right now, consular processing is an area where we're very much having to warn our clients to expect to spend longer periods of time outside the United States. And whereas before, you know, there was some degree of not quite certainty, but an expectation that if someone had an approved provisional waiver, they would be able to go outside the country and return without incident. Now, you know, we are regularly warning our clients to expect to spend possibly a year outside the country, and that's with approved waivers. So some of the things that are changing within the consular processing part of immigration practice. This relates directly to changes made to the Foreign Affairs Manual. It is alarming how quietly and quickly they update the Foreign Affairs Manual. And it's hard to track the changes. AILA is excellent at sort of noticing that the changes are done, showing you what the archived versions of the Foreign Affairs Manual said and what the new sections say.